Thank you, sir. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea." And let's all read verse 2 together. It says, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All right, let's just keep that in mind. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And verse 3, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet of Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths right." So it's saying that John the Baptist himself is a fulfillment of prophecy of scripture. Because there would be a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So the prophet Isaiah prophesied there would be a voice saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And here in verse 2, John said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's preparing the way of the Lord, just as the prophet Isaiah said before him. So in verse 4, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." So here it's saying, you know, just think about John as a person. It's saying his raiment was camel's hair, his leathern girdle, you know, about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. So John was a wild man. He was living in the wilderness. And this is just his lifestyle. This is just who he is. But who he is was prophesied, you know, way before, like it said, Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied there would be a voice in the wilderness. So this is John, who was in the wilderness. He's a wild man. That's just who he is, but that's what he was prophesied to be. And that's why the scripture says, you know, we're predestinated by our desires. We're predestinated by, you know, and maybe there are things about who you are that, you know, or maybe even struggles you have to go through that, you know, build you up in certain ways that you, at the end of, that you would want, that you desire, but God had to put your life a certain way. Before you even had that prayer, God answered it and gave you certain trials and struggles, and maybe you went through certain things that you were able to become a better person, or gain character or patience or some type of attribute that you gained, or that you've something that you needed, maybe that you have, that came before you even knew that you wanted it or knew that you needed it. So there are things like that where, you know, maybe even John and himself, you know, being a zealous Christian and wanting the will of God to be in his life, you know, God, you know, predestinated him to be a prophet. And like Brother Branham says, he doesn't shove us through a tube and says, this is what you're going to be. But he predestinates us by foreknowledge, by his foreknowledge, and by our desires. So the fact that John is, you know, this prophet and it's not a coincidence. It's that John has a zeal in his life and a desire for the word, and God predestinated him by his desire to be, you know, a wild man, to be maybe someone who enjoys being in the wilderness, and someone, you know, who has a zeal for God and wants the will of God in his life and wants to do a service for God, and then he ordains him to be a prophet. So there's things like that could happen in our lives where, you know, maybe certain things we go through will give us strength in certain areas that, you know, we desire within our hearts, and God read that desire and gave it to us, and he gives it to us in a variety of ways, but he can give you a desire, and he can answer prayers before you've even asked them. So let's read verse 6 again. "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." And verse 7 says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. So he's saying there, he that cometh after me is mightier than I. And John knows who comes after him, because, you know, Isaiah prophesied, there'll be a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. So John knows that the Lord is coming after him. And of course, the Jews at this time believe the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is going to come. And John also believes the Messiah is going to come. And he knows that, you know, he's that voice in the wilderness, and that he is fulfilling prophecy in that way. And he knows who's going to come after him. He knows the Lord will follow him and come after him. And he's saying that the Lord... The Lord is coming after him is mightier than... He's saying he's mightier... He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So he's saying the person who's coming after me is mightier than I. So verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And then verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? So John has already said that whoever is coming after me is mightier than me. And then Jesus comes, and John says, why would I baptize you? You're God in flesh. You're the Messiah, you know. I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus is saying, so even here we're seeing that God in flesh, even though he's God himself, he needs to be subject to his own word. Like there's things, like we know that there's things that God can't do. God can't lie to us. God can't, you know, bear false witness. He can't commit adultery. He can't sin. He can't. So there's things that God needs to be in line with his own word. And if we're called to be baptized, then God himself can't be like, well, come in flesh and then be like, oh, I'm not going to be baptized. But no, when he comes in flesh, he's saying, I need to be baptized too. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness is what he says to John. So even God in flesh is like, I need to follow my word, and so everyone else can follow behind me. So I need to it becometh us to fulfill our righteousness. And then it says, then he suffered him. In verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the same way he needed to be baptized, and that we need to be baptized, we also need to hear that voice. We also need to, you know, live our life in a way, and we also need to, you know, hear that voice in our lives saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So that's also the voice that we need to hear, as well as we need to be baptized. So let's go on to verse 4. Verse 1, chapter 4. And verse 1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward hungered. Of course he was hungry. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So, and verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him upon a pinnacle of a temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash my foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So, you know, Jesus is being tempted. I'm sure we've all heard this story before. But Jesus is being tempted. And, you know, the devil is actually trying to use the Bible to tempt God and say, well, the Bible says this. So, I mean, and God's like, well, no, it also says this. So you need the whole picture. You can't just take that one verse out of context. So, he's quoting scripture to, you know, to overcome the tempter. And verse 8 says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. So, he's basically just been offered the world. He's been offered everything he could possibly want. But the same way that he had to come and be baptized, the same way, you know, he had to hear that voice and have that experience, is the same way that, you know, he used to quote scripture and stick by scripture, and in the same way that, you know, he's even here, Jesus is subject to his own word. He's saying the only person that we should serve is God. And that's what the Bible says. That's what the word says. So God himself is being subject to his own word, which is why we must also be subject to the word if we're going to follow him. And verse 11 says, Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So the same way that, you know, Jesus is doing all these things, we need to also follow these things. And we see Jesus being tempted, and we're also tempted. But we see that when Jesus is tempted, he quotes scripture, he sticks to the word, and he gets deeper in it. And then the devil leaves him. And that's the same thing we have to do if we want the devil to leave us. We need to be in the word and quote scripture and really read our Bibles, and, you know, so we can have these verses and we can have, you know, we can be subject to the word. And it said the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So especially if you've ever experienced, you know, overcoming or reading your Bible and just really having your eyes open to something, you know, that's an amazing experience. And angels will definitely, you know, come and minister to you in different ways, and things will open up to you in the word, and you'll just have this clarity about certain scriptures, and you'll have revelations. So if you're being tempted, if you're being, you know, in a trial or anything like that, you know, stick to the word. You know, search the word, search the scripture for answers with whatever you're going through. And the devil will leave you, and angels will come and minister to you, and you'll just have the, and it's a wonderful experience when you come to that revelation, or when something is, you overcome something, and you just lift your hands and you thank God for it, and you give him praise. So we need to, the same way God came in flesh and he needed to get baptized, he needed to do all these things. We need to do all these things. He even says later in Matthew, I believe it is, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he himself is keeping the commandments. He can't be like, he can't come, even though he's God, he can't just come and then just do whatever he wants. Like, he can't just, you know, the devil is literally saying, you know, turn these stones into bread. And he's like, I'm not going to do that because it is written. He could have done that. But, you know, it is written that, you know, man doesn't have to live by bread alone. We live by the word of God. The devil said, you know, oh, well, just, you know, throw yourself off this cliff. And he's saying, I'm not going to tempt God, you know, like he's God. He could survive the fall. He could do that. But he's like, as our example, he's like, I can't, you know, it is written that I'm not supposed to tempt the Lord, you know, into doing things like that, or try to, you know, to tempt him to, you know, perform a work. You know, that's not how it should come. And then he's saying, you know, I'll give you all these things. You know, I'll give you the world, I'll give you these kingdoms, these palaces, these, you know, riches untold, you know, and God's saying, God could just have that. Like, it's already his. It's the world. You know, he created that. He could just have it himself. But here he says, you know, but Satan says, in order to get that, you have to worship me. And first of all, it's already God's. Like, you're not going to give him something that's already his. But he's saying that I'm not going to worship you. It's written that, you know, I only should worship the Lord. So there's things that he's going through that, you know, even sometimes just to show us and be an example to us, and that he's subject to his own word, and that we need to be subject to the word the same way he was God in flesh and still followed the commandments and still followed the word the way it was supposed to be. And the devil left him, and angels came and ministered unto him. So keep that scripture in mind if you're ever, you know, maybe like Brother Darrell Ward was talking about yesterday, when you're in a prison house or in your mind, and you're going through something, you know, just keep that in mind that, you know, stay in the scripture and the devil will leave you and angels will minister to you. And when you overcome, it'll be a wonderful feeling. Now, in verse 12, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the sea coast in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying. So once again, Esaias's prophecies are coming to fruition. So verse 14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. And let's read verse 17 together. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who else said that?
John.
Yes. That's right. John said that literally in the previous chapter. John said, what does verse 17 say again? Go ahead.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Let's go back to chapter 3. Wow. And verse 2. What does verse 2 say?
I'm saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
He's saying the same thing John said. That to me, that's incredible. Like John is saying, you know, he's had this message. He's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying this, you know, and he's saying, you know, but the one who's coming after me is greater than me. And then Jesus comes, and what does Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's given the same message. So it's the exact same message. So just to know that, you know, the clarity that we can have with the word, that the message is the same, like whether or not, because the message comes from God, but we can still give forth that same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God himself came down and said that in flesh, and he was saying the same thing John said. So we know the message that John had was given by Jesus. So I just think that's really cool that, you know, he's saying the exact same thing. And the same goes through all with all the messengers and all the prophets and all the ministers of the gospel, that it's the same message carried out to different people, and it's coming from God. Yes, so you know it's coming from God. Jesus didn't come and say something besides what John said. He didn't say, oh, what John said was good, but he missed it here and he missed it there, and I need to go over this with you guys. But he came in flesh and said the exact same thing John said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, and that's the clarity we can have with the word in our own lives, that, you know, if God gives us something to say or something to study or something to meditate on, and that we can know it's of the Spirit of the Lord, you know, that we can have this clarity that, you know, this is from God. Because if God, you can get into the word and get a revelation and understanding of the word, you know, you can say things and you'll know that, you know, if God himself was here in flesh, he wouldn't say anything different. That's the same confidence that Paul had when I talked about that little thing Paul said, where if an angel from heaven come down and say anything else, it's a curse. Because Paul had a revelation of Jesus Christ, which came from God himself. So of course, if anyone else says anything different, it's a curse, because the message came from God. So he had a revelation of Jesus Christ. So the message, if God was there in flesh, he wouldn't have said anything different than what Paul said. And sometimes we should really take that into consideration when we're listening to a message or a sermon or listening to a preacher. You know, like if what he's saying is in line with the word, if God was here in flesh, he wouldn't say anything different than that. If an angel from heaven were to come down and to say anything different than what Brother Darrell Ward said yesterday, it would be a curse. Because the message he brought forth came straight from God, because it lines up exactly with the word. So that's the confidence that we can have, you know, in the message and in the Bible and in the word, if we can really study and really get a revelation of Jesus Christ the way Paul did, the way John the Baptist did, and obviously the way Jesus does, because he is Jesus Christ. So if we can get that close to God, that, you know, we can say something and be so confident that it lines up with the word, and so confident and so sure of what we believe, we would say if God himself came down, he wouldn't say it any differently. And even I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with the story, but even Sarah and Abraham's wife, sometimes Sarah would say to Abraham, Lord, Lord. And why would Sarah call Abraham Lord like that, you know? And some people take that as, you know, women need to be subject to their husband, which is true. But what it's really saying there, it's more like a call for the men, that as the men, we need to be so in tune with God and so lined up with the Word and so deep in the Word that, you know, that someone could say, call you Lord, and it wouldn't be a contradiction because you're saying exactly what the Word says. What you're saying is exactly lined up with the Word. Because if Abraham was off the Word, Sarah wouldn't call him Lord, Lord, because he would be wrong. You know, if he told her to do something and it went against the Word, it went against the Spirit of God, calling him Lord, 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 Lord would be a contradiction. But he wasn't, he was in tune with God, and he was in line with God. So calling him Lord, Lord was not a contradiction, because that's just how close he was with the Word. And that's how close John was with the Word. That's how close Paul was with the Word. Because when Jesus came, he said the exact same thing. And that's why Paul was so confident, because he had that revelation for himself. And he could say, if an angel says anything different, it's a curse, because I got this message directly from God. And John the Baptist got his message directly from God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So those, you know, sometimes we overcomplicate things, and we overcomplicate, you know, what it takes to be a believer or to get closer to the Word or get closer to God. But all Jesus said to them was, follow me. That's all he said. I will make you fishers of men. He just said, follow me. He didn't say, you know, like these denominations or like the Catholic Church, these different things, they'll say like, oh, you need to do this, and you need to go to the confession booth, and you need to pay this much money, and you need to go over here and give this person this much money, they have all these works they do, and you have to do this and do that. Or even Muslims, they have all these things that they have to go to the Mecca and walk around it and do all these things. But all Jesus is saying is, follow me. Everything else will come after, but right now, just follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will, you know, provide a way for you. I will provide what you need. I will be your father. I will be your helper. I will be your friend. You know, all he's saying is, follow me, and all these things, you know, will come to pass. And that's what's really important. We just need to follow him. And Brother Branham said, you know, just follow him and walk humbly. So if you can follow the Lord and just walk humbly, you know, in his word, and then just walk humbly. And I remember even when we were in Nicaragua, you know, there were these sisters that were, you know, cooking, and they were the cafeteria, same way at, you know, our camps. We have like a cooking staff, you know. And this brother said something to me that I thought was profound. He said that, you know, some of these sisters will receive a greater reward in heaven than a minister that didn't walk humbly before the Lord. So if there was a minister who maybe thought he was, you know, a big shot, and he was like, oh, well, in my meetings this happened, and he just thought, man, I'm such a good preacher, and he's doing all this, you know. There could be a sister just in the kitchen cooking something up for a camp, and they could get a greater blessing than he did, because they just followed God and walked humbly, and that was it. So if there's anything I want you to get tonight, it's just get deeper in the Word, get an understanding of what he's saying, and get a revelation of Jesus Christ, so that, you know, you can say something and know that it's in line with the Word, and know that it's in line, that you can say something and say that if an angel from heaven were to come and say anything different than what I just said, it would be a curse. Or to even know that if God himself was here in flesh, he wouldn't have said it any differently than that, because it's the truth. And just follow him and walk humbly. So God bless you. You're dismissed.